Yesterday, Lisa was here at the retreat, so I was home alone all day. I was alone all day. That doesn't happen very often. I got some things done that needed to be done. While I was doing some of those things that needed to be done, I watched The Man of Steel. You know, the one of the latest, probably the latest Superman movie. On there, I thought it was interesting. They explain a lot of the things that maybe we haven't heard of yet in the story and how things happened with Superman the way they did and whatever. And at one point, Lois asks him about the S, because his father from another planet gave him the S, and so it couldn't really be for Superman. So where'd the S come from? And he said, well, that's not really an S. He said, where I come from, that stands for hope. It's a symbol that stands for hope. And you know, that's what all letters are. Letters are just pictures that stand for something. We see symbols and signs all the time that stand for something. I want to ask you real quick this morning as we get started. What do you stand for? When I see a red, funny shape, what is it, hexagon or octagon? Well, anyway, when I see a red sign out on the street that's kind of like that, I know what that stands for. And I usually do what it tells me to. What do you stand for? When people see you, what do they think? Daniel had such a reputation. He had defined himself. He had defined his life by his faith in God. He had such a reputation that when people saw him, that's what they thought about. Daniel, as a person, he got to the point where he stood for faith in Yahweh. And it was actually the way he stood for that that wound up getting him in a little bit of trouble. You're very familiar with the story about Daniel and the lion's den. Thinking about who really had the power that day and who won that thing, I think we ought to call it the lions in Daniel's den. But I want us to think about the story again and to look at it through fresh eyes, through maybe more a grown-up look at the story. If you have your copy of Scripture, look with me in Daniel chapter 6. I want us to learn about this man who stood for something. You remember the old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Daniel stood for something. And I want us to let him encourage us this morning to take a stand. To take a stand for something. Let's look at the story. Daniel chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom. You and I don't know or really care what a satrap is. It's just a governor. It's just part of the bureaucracy. He chose to put people in positions of leadership. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. Now, understand what has happened here. Daniel lived in Jerusalem. He was Hebrew. And the Babylonians came and conquered, took people, spread them out. Daniel winds up over here under Nebuchadnezzar, really, under the Babylonians. Well, now the Persians have showed up and they took care of the Babylonians. So now we got a Persian king. And so Daniel is a foreigner who was part of the enemy, and now the king is going to make him one of the top three dudes in the kingdom. That is amazing that the king has that much faith in Daniel, that he respects Daniel that greatly, given the story and how he wound up to be here. Verse 2 says, over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Now, see, what happened was the king had a lot of stuff. I mean, he had the kingdom. And he wanted to make sure that nobody took advantage of him. He didn't want anybody dipping in the till, as they used to say. He didn't want anybody playing with the books and getting stuff that was really his. And so he says, well, what we'll do, we'll put these 120 out there. But even that, with 120 guys in charge, it's going to be pretty hard for me to watch them. I can't watch all 120. So I'm going to pick three, and we'll divide them up. That way, each of these commissioners only has to keep their eye on 40 guys to make sure that everybody is being honest and handling my stuff well. And the king picks Daniel to be one of those three most trusted men in the country. How does that happen? It happens because Daniel was so faithful. Daniel was faithful to who God had called him to be. And because of that, he earned that reputation. And even the king knew that he could be trusted. If we're going to learn from Daniel how to take a stand, the first thing that we want to learn is taking a stand begins with faithfulness. You see, if you don't earn the right to take a stand, then when you start talking loudly, you're just obnoxious. You're just annoying. But when you earn the right by the way you live and the way you treat people, by your faithfulness to God, when you earn the respect of the people around you, then when you take a stand and you speak out, then they'll listen. It begins with your faithfulness. Every one of us will be called upon at some time to take a stand. That doesn't mean that we'll have to be able to speak publicly or to be in the media in some way. But every one of us will be called upon to take a stand at some point and say, this is what God says is right. This is the right thing to do. We've got to do what's right. All of us will be called upon at some point to do that. Understand that you won't be ready for that unless you are first faithful to God. Now look at verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners. He distinguished himself as a Hebrew boy. That's how he got chosen to be somebody special with the Babylonians. He distinguished himself among the Babylonians. That's why when the Persian king took over Babylon, he still wanted Daniel to be a somebody. Then he distinguished himself above all the 120 satraps. Now he has distinguished him among the three in the kingdom. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. He had what the Bible calls an extraordinary spirit. He had been faithful to God all along. And because he had been faithful to God all along, he was able to take a stand when he was called upon to do so. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Reaching for the Invisible God. And I want to share with you one of the things that he wrote in that book. He said, I once watched a public television series based on interviews with survivors from World War II. The soldiers recalled how they spent a particular day. He said, let's look at this one day. Tell me what you did on this one day. One sat in a foxhole all day. Once or twice a German tank drove by and he shot at it. Others played cards and frittered away the time. A few got involved in furious firefights. Mostly, the day passed like any other day for an infantryman on the front. Later, they learned that day they had just participated in one of the largest, most decisive engagements of the war, the Battle of the Bulge. It didn't feel decisive to any of them at the time because none of them had the big picture of what was happening elsewhere. Great victories, Yancey concludes, are won when ordinary people execute their assigned tasks. See, those soldiers didn't know this was a special day. They didn't know they were making history. To them, it was a day like every other day. They were told where to be, and they were there. They were told what to do, and they did it. That's all there was to it. But by their faithfulness, they helped accomplish a great victory. And you see, that is our task in life. You and I will never, on this earth, as long as we're alive and breathing real air, none of us will ever understand the big picture about what God has called us to do. What we can do is say, God called me to get up and go to work in the morning, and I'm going to be there. God called me to demonstrate Him in the workplace, so I'm going to be there on time, do my best. I'm going to represent Him in what I say and what I do and how I treat people. God has called me to do the best I can at school, so I'm going to show up. I'm going to be respectful to those who deserve my respect. I'm going to do the best I can to study all I can so that I can show the world around me that God has something going on in my life. Wherever your task is, whatever your job is, if you are faithful in it, even though you don't see the big picture about the whole kingdom, you're faithful to do your task, something's going to happen. You're going to earn the right to take a stand when necessary. Taking a stand begins with faithfulness. Then I hope that you'll see taking a stand will not always be popular. Taking a stand will not always be popular. Verse 4, then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. Why? Remember, he had worked his way up. He was one of three. And the king was going to make him the top dog of the three. Well, see, what happened now is these two commissioners and some of their satraps below them, they don't want Daniel to be in charge because Daniel is going to make them do right. They want to keep padding their pockets. They want to keep stealing from the king and doing things that they know they hadn't ought to be doing. They don't want Daniel to be in charge. So they said, let's find a way. Let's start looking for a way that we can shut him up and shut him out. And it says that they could not find any ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. They couldn't find it. There was nothing there that they could use against him. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. You see what happened? They couldn't find that he was doing anything wrong with the king's laws. He had all that squared away. But they knew how he had defined himself. He was defined by his faithfulness to God. And so they said, there's a weakness. Let's find a way to use that against him. We know he's going to be faithful to Yahweh. So let's find a way to twist that and use it against him. Jump to verse 7. All the commissioners of the kingdom the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. You see what they did? They went to the king and they said, all of us have gotten together. All 128 satraps, all three commissioners, they're lying. Because Daniel wasn't in that group. They're lying to the king. They said, all of us got together and we decided that it should be illegal for anyone to pray to any god but you. They were able to do that because they knew that Daniel was going to pray. Daniel prayed three times a day. That doesn't make Daniel special, really. It makes him faithful because that's what Hebrews did at that time. That's what the Jews did. You pray three times a day. It changed by the time Jesus came and they had different times. But when Daniel was doing it, it was most likely in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. He prayed three times a day, and they knew that. And so they knew they could go to the king and say, let's make it illegal to pray. Now, notice the difference between the Daniel story and the story about the three Hebrew boys. It's similar in that a law was passed to get them in trouble. You remember we talked about that last week? The kids would get thrown into the fiery furnace. The way it happened was people didn't like them, so they made a law that would get them in trouble for being faithful. Very similar stories. The only difference is, if you'll remember in that story, there was a law that said they had to do something wrong. You have to bow down to the idol. The law said you have to do something wrong. In this story, the law says you cannot do something that's right. The first law said you must do this, even though it's wrong. Now there's a law that says you cannot do that, even though it's right. And when you think about it, that is our current society to a large degree. We are told what is right should really be seen as wrong, and we are told that what is wrong should really be accepted as right. The Bible told us that would happen, by the way. The closer we get to the end of our time here on this earth, the more we're going to notice that right is made wrong and wrong is made right. That's a part of this experience. That's exactly where Daniel was. Daniel was told, now it's illegal for you to pray to God. So what does he do? I hope that none of us are ever faced with that kind of a decision, but if we are, here's what Scripture says. We obey God rather than man. If we ever have to take a stand to the degree where we have to choose between God and a law, we choose God instead of man. And so Daniel continued to pray, even though his stance was not popular by any means. The worldview around him had said, what you're doing is wrong. He knew what he was doing was right. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will get to live a wonderful, perfect life, and it'll be sweet honey and roses every day. There are preachers who will tell you that. I'm not one of them, because Scripture says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Taking a stand is not popular. We don't take a stand because people will like us. We take a stand because it's right and it honors God. Taking a stand is strengthened through consistency. That's the third thing we learn from Daniel. Once I learn to take a stand, I can get stronger in that if I'm consistent in it. If I keep at it. You see, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had done, as he had been doing previously. It says he knew the law had been signed. And by the way, in their culture, according to their law, once the king signed it, it could not be undone. It was a done deal for good. And he knew that, and he still continued to do what he had been called to do. Notice, he did not start this as some kind of look at me opposition. He was doing this to begin with. They told him to stop, and he continued to do what's right. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. He just continued. It was his consistency that gave him the strength to take that stand. He didn't just start it as a protest. It was a part of his life. You see, if you and I will learn what God wants us to do and who He wants us to be, and then we take a stand for that every day when it's easy, then one of these days when it's not easy, when it's not popular, when it's dangerous, when there's a threat of lions, we'll still be able to take that stand because it's a part of our life and it's what we do consistently. It was against the law to pray. Can you imagine that? Aren't you glad that we have the freedom to pray when and where and how we want to? Now let me ask you this. Do you take advantage of that freedom? It's one thing to say, I'm glad I got the freedom to do it. It's something else to say, I take advantage of that freedom that was bought and paid for by the blood of people who were brave enough to make sure that I had that freedom. I take advantage of that freedom and I pray every day. I talk to God because I can. Daniel was not allowed and yet he did. We're allowed all the time and yet we just so often take it for granted. The next thing that I want you to see, well, let me take just a second. I'm debating whether I have time for this story, but I'm going to sit here and debate it the whole time and waste all our time if I don't just go ahead and tell you. So we're going to take time. Emmett Smith. He's the current world record holder in the NFL for career yards rushing. Emmett Smith, he took that title from the previous record holder, Walter Payton. Over the course of his 15-year career, Smith ran the ball for an incredible 18,355 yards. That's more than 14 miles of pushing, shoving, jumping, rolling over, and through massive defensive linemen. Those linemen, by the way, stopped him over 4,400 times. Matter of fact, his average run, barely over 4 yards. Barely over 4 yards. 4.16 yards was his average. How then does he get to 18,355? Because he kept getting up and going again. Every time he got pushed out of bounds, he'd run again. Every time he got knocked down, he'd run again. It was that consistency. You see, the world is going to put up obstacles. The enemy is going to tackle us. We will be pushed around and pushed out of bounds. And we can stop and say, I tried. Or we can, like Daniel, get back up and go again. Taking a stand is strengthened through consistency. Now we'll pick up the speed a little bit to get to the next two or three. Taking a stand is not easy. It's just not. It's hard to take a stand. Verse 12, then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king answered and said, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction you've signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Then, as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. The king's hands were tied. He had signed a law. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it cannot be undone. And yet he respected and loved Daniel. And so he was going to find a way to protect his friend Daniel. Verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to him, recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And we say that's not fair. Daniel was a good person, so good things should happen to him. It's not fair that he gets thrown into the lion's den. He was only doing right. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you, because I love you, life ain't fair. It's not about fair. It won't be. Our reaction is, that's not fair. He shouldn't be thrown to the lions. The big picture is, when you take a stand, you're doing the right thing, not because you're going to get blessed or because it's going to be easy. You're doing the right thing even though it's not easy. You're doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Whether you get a reward or not, you do the right thing because it's the right thing. You take a stand, it's not going to be easy. Charles Swindoll wrote a book called Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, and in that book, he said this. You've heard it before, but it's worth hearing many times. The world needs men who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everyone else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report in adversity as well as prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, although all the rest of the world says yes. Taking a stand is not easy, but we need people who will do it. Taking a stand influences others. When we do take a stand, it has an impact on the world around us. Continuing in verse 16, the last half there, the king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. Wow. You see that? Back last week when Nebuchadnezzar is talking to the three Hebrews, he says, I got you now. What God is there who could deliver you from my hand? And now look at the difference. Daniel has had such an impact on this king. Understand, a lot of time has gone by. Daniel's 80 years old, give or take, in this story. A lot of time has gone by, and he has lived a life of consistency. And the king says, that God that you constantly serve, somehow I think he is able to deliver you. Last week the king said, who could deliver you? This week, this king says, I know he can. Daniel's life had an influence on those around him. Verse 17 says, the stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own ring so that nothing might be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him. His sleep fled from him. Then the king arose with the dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came, and when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Two things I want you to notice. First, it says the angels closed the lion's mouth. For the angel to close the lion's mouth, that means the lion's mouth had to be open first. These are real lions. This is real danger. They're after him until the angel intervenes, until God steps in and takes care of him. Notice something else. When the king comes up, Daniel's down there in the lion's den. The king comes up and he has a conversation. If I was Daniel, I think I'd say, hey, king, can you get me out of here first, and then we can talk all day. But see, Daniel's not afraid. Daniel doesn't care whether he's in the den or up top on the ground with the king. He doesn't care because he knows that God is with him. So it doesn't matter what circumstances he's in, he has peace. That's what happens when we take a stand and we serve the Lord faithfully. You know, in Hebrews 11, there's that long list of the faithful. When we get down to the end of the list, the writer of Hebrews says, and there's a whole bunch more other fellows that I didn't have time to put in this list. And in Hebrews 11 at 33, he says some of those other folks that we didn't have time to talk about, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. And there we have New Testament proof of the Old Testament faith of Daniel. Taking a stand has an influence on others. He was able to stand firm and change the king and change the world around him. He had an influence on those around him. And then we're going to stop here. Taking a stand eventually pays off. Verse 24. The king then gave orders. They brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. And verse 28, so this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Taking a stand eventually pays off. When we take a stand for what is right, it will eventually pay off. For Daniel, he got to see it in his lifetime. Justice was done. Scripture doesn't promise us that we'll actually see it in our lifetime here. But Scripture does say that when we go to heaven, our deeds follow us. So whether we get to see it here by seeing justice done and God's enemies defeated and God's people honored, or whether we have to wait until we get there, one way or another, beloved, I want you to know, taking a stand is worth it, because taking a stand pays off. Look at the story of Daniel again through the eyes of an adult. It's more than lions. It's about taking a stand in a world that wants you to shut up. We live in that world. Don't shut up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Take a stand for God. Take a stand for what's right. It'll be worth it. It'll be hard. It'll be scary. It'll be unpopular. It'll hurt. Do it anyway. Father, we thank you for your love, for your power, for your strength that enables us to stand. Help us this week to take a stand. Be who you call us to be. Do what you call us to do for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name.